Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you play in those kind of games, guys, you got to be extremely patient. Patient as a defensive coach, patient as a player, patient as an offensive coordinator. You have to be patient because you get frustrated very easily, and then you can magnify with mistakes. Our offense did a tremendous job tonight of protecting the ball. To play in those conditions and not put the ball on the ground or not lose a turnover was big for us.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Okay. I guess so. You know, if that's the way Kirby Smart wants to look at it and convey his thoughts on how the game played out. Okay, cool. But you had a whole lot of folks worried in that first half. That's all I got to say. And the rain didn't look like it was going to help you moving forward.
But you pull it out, and that's the bottom line. You move on to the next week, and you get back in the win column. That's the most important thing to come out of Athens last night.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, in the first hour, we have gone over what happened yesterday with some of the college sports. We're going to talk about a couple more right now, but Georgia getting their win, some of the upsets, Wisconsin losing to Illinois, how Lovie Smith is doing. He's there for one reason.
Why is that?
His teams usually excel at takeaways. They usually have the best number as far as whether it's been in the pros or in the college level, but that's all he got. So go get yourself a defensive coordinator job, grow your beard a little bit more, and then work for a while. But do not run a program.
Grow the beard more?
Do not grow. He does not need to run a program. I'm sorry. He
Why?
Just don't. Because a team on the NFL level.
Anti-Lovie Smith.
Because he kills quarterbacks.
Why
he kills them. I don't know why he does it, but he's done it. We can go back and look at his history. I got a thing about Lovie, so.
Anyway. Yeah,
I do.
Obviously.
It's not the man. It's the coach. So these are some of the things that we talked about. We also discovered that McEachern High School is the best high school football program in the state, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's because
undefeated.
After, though, we talked about a certain play that allowed them to stay undefeated. And had John Batnarowski throw the referees under the bus.
And you know what? That's a perfect thing for the GHSA.
Yeah.
And during their appreciation, officiating week is the institute replay on the high school level.
Everybody can do that. They would be able to do it at McEachern, though.
All right. Well, that's all we needed it at.
If any school in the state could do it, they could. But everybody's got to be able to do it. It can't just be for one or two places.
Seriously, though, also during the show, we talked about Mr. Crenshaw's time covering Georgia State yesterday as they played Army, but the whole pageantry that surrounded that game, even though it was nasty weather, you got to see some very special things.
Very special things whenever Army comes to play, and they don't come to this part of the country that often. So it was great to see them come. The Humvee that was parked outside, we got there. And you knew they sold a lot of tickets. They were going to have a lot of their fans come out and support them. They didn't bring the full band, but the pep band. And to me, the coolest thing after watching them play and execute the way they play, as hard as they play, there's no quit on them, and they can't.
Yeah,
they can't quit. I mean, and so at the end of the game, after Georgia State, the team went over to the band that played the Georgia State fight song. Then the Army players went over to their band and student section and played the Army hymn. And something we always see at the end of the Army Navy games, and it reminds you of they're playing a game, but what those guys really have coming up
right.
in their lives. And it was neat to see the Georgia State team go and stand around them during that time. So it was really just a special, special moment. And as I said earlier, the guys who signed the scholarship to come, letter of intent to come and play at Georgia State, figured they'd get to do a lot of different things. But that's probably not one of the things they thought about.
And halftime just must have been special.
Oh, very special because they inducted a group in as Army recruits. They're on their come out on the field before the Georgia State band came out. There's about 50 of them. And hold up the right hand and took the oath and they're inducted into the service and got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
So it's a great night.
Again, a special day. And as much as we talked about the previous week and a half of Georgia sports, yesterday, all right, we talked about Georgia. Ugly day. They got the win. Talked about Georgia State. They got the win. Georgia Tech beats them boys with the hang with I want to call it the hangover chain this morning.
But
the turnover chain beat Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
Down in Miami in overtime. That was 28-21. Atlanta United won.
Yep.
So all we need really are the Falcons to take care of business today.
To finish and up
it sort
the weekend.
Of it flips the whole script from a week ago.
How about that? That's what we need to finish off this weekend. Because I remember talking with Greg this week, and I said, Greg, if something bad happens with Atlanta United Saturday night, it's going to be like the sky is falling. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of what happened all last week, and now it's, you know, it's spread to Atlanta United too. Did not happen.
So. Oh, and one other team, excuse me, because you've been saying we don't talk about this team. So as far as the winning and Kennesaw State.
Well, Kennesaw State, they kept rolling 55-10. They win. That's all they do is win. They're number four in the nation right now. But our concern with Atlanta United is an injury. Michael Parkhurst, the captain who announced that he is retiring at the end of this season, suffered a shoulder injury and looks like he's probably going to miss a game or two. And we're already kind of thin in that area, in the center back area and in defense. So you're really going to have to get some help to come up there and really play whoever they face Thursday night. And, of course, we're going to have that game for you here on Sports Radio 99. And we'll know on our cousin downstairs.
You mean Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday it's on V103.
It's on V103.
We got two and actually we got two cousins downstairs, and then we got one cousin up here.
Yeah, we got
coming up here, right?
It's coming up here, right. Okay. Right.
We got, hey, by the way, also earlier in the show we learned something, and do with this information what you will. But this week is Is it the National Official? Say this because I can't even get it out.
Georgia High School Association has proclaimed this week, from October 21st through the 26th, is Officials Appreciation Week.
Officials Appreciation
Week. Why is that so hard for you to say Officials Appreciation Week? Shouldn't we appreciate the officials anyway?
One has nothing to do with the other. It's just me being able to say it.
We cannot play the games without officials.
I agree with you.
We must have them.
Yeah.
And they're not enough. We currently have a shortage.
Because we got knucklehead parents out there, so people don't want to come into this field. But say it out loud,
but
man.
But we got to have the officials.
Right, so get that to some of them parents who make officials want to quit, including one on the other side of the glass over there.
Let's appreciate the officials.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do something nice for them. For the game, we have a little refreshment for them before the game's up.
Hey, man, I get them a six-pack and a two-piece. I don't care. Just keep the parents at bay so we get some good ones in there.
It is Officials Appreciation Week throughout the state of Georgia this week. And not just with football, but for all sports. Because you cannot play the games without these individuals.
And before we get back into football, one of the other things we obviously talked about is we now have the World Series set.
Yes, we do.
And the two teams are in there. I'm cool with. I'm only sorry that we're not going to get a couple Cy Youngs going at it in game one that actually used to be teammates.
Yeah.
And Max Scherzer and Verlander. But Verlander's going in game two. Scherzer's going in game one. And so, listen, Gerrit Cole, he probably, depending on who you talk to, he might get the Cy Young this year. It's going to be him or Verlander, one of the two. So Gerrit Cole's going to go in game one, which, of course, starts tomorrow night. Houston's got home field advantage, and I couldn't be happier that the Yankees are out. And I started off the show talking about there's two guys who I don't see in their current job position starting next year when that season starts. And one is Aroldis Chapman, who gave up that home run.
Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh. They've had enough of them. Enough already.
I still say
1-7. 1-7 against ranked teams.
But an Ohio State win cures all that.
He ain't beat Ohio State since he's been there. He barely got past Michigan State.
What he's done.
He's lost to Wisconsin. He's been tripping through the Big Ten.
He beats them this year. He beats them this year.
Nah, he had his chance because Urban's gone too. That's the other thing too. He wins this year, it'll be bittersweet.
He's playing a team. Beating that team will go a long way for him. But he's got to beat them. That's the thing.
I don't see him there.
That's the thing. We got an injury over in Alabama. What do you think about this thing with Tua? He's got a high ankle sprain.
Makes it even easier for Jalen Hurts to get the Heisman. I don't know, either him or Justin Fields.
Or Justin Fields.
I'm saying Ken on the other side of the glass thinks it should be it should go to Oklahoma, but I'm saying it might land up there in Ohio State. Those are the two guys for me.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean they're the guy. You now that Wisconsin's lost, we're not gonna throw Taylor. We're not gonna have Taylor in at all. All he does,
he'll
is
be
go
invited.
Out, all
I
he
think
does is go out there and run.
He was,
every
yeah,
week.
He was my front runner first, but I don't know. I mean, I guess he could still be there. He's not leading the teams like the other two guys are. But I think Tua's problem, even before this injury, he is kind of like Phil Jackson or Kerr with Golden State, because he's with Alabama, he's supposed to produce that well. And he has been. He's been consistent, all right? And I think that it'd be harder for that position on that team to get it again as opposed to others.
The thing you talk about with Tua is how long will he be out and hampered by this injury. Their next game is Arkansas. The game after that is LSU. Mm-hmm. And that's the game everyone's talking about.
Right.
So as far as the Heisman race, that's one thing. But as far as Alabama, having him healthy for the game that matters most right now, some people in Alabama will say the Auburn game matters as well, but the game that matters most on the national spotlight, will he be healthy and how will he play in that game? And I think that's something that's a very real possibility. LSU knocks him out. You got LSU coming here to play,
right?
In Mercedes-Benz Stadium instead of Alabama.
Let me ask you a question, and this is kind of funny. Who won the NBA championship last year? Ken, who won the NBA championship? Sam?
Best season, Toronto.
Right. Who have we been talking about all offseason? Talking about the Lakers what's going on with LeBron.
Yeah.
Who won the national championship last year in college football?
The Clippers.
Okay. Yeah. But who we've been talking about everybody other than the champs in college football this year.
Well, I've always talked about
and they've been
about
complaining
Clemson.
About what's going Clemson. On with Clemson.
And Clemson keeps winning.
And they keep winning.
Yeah.
But it's that, the ACC schedule. Oh, it's this, it's that. And they ain't playing nobody.
I don't say that.
But you heard this conversation.
For conversation's sake, and people have shoved them down. They actually got them ranked number 3 in the country right now. And, I'm saying they're Clemson. They're still the defending champions. They haven't lost a game. Yeah, okay, they had a close call against North Carolina, but now Alabama's going to have some close calls, potentially, with him out. And it's what you do when you have those games. I mean, Georgia had one last week. They came out flat. You face another team with the personnel to exploit that, and that's what South Carolina did. Clemson came out flat. North Carolina has the talent. They're not a great team, but they have the talent and the personnel to exploit things when they do that. And Mack Brown almost pulled it off.
Yeah, he did.
So, since that time, Clemson's pretty much been Clemson to me. Now, Trevor's had some problems. He's thrown some interceptions his second year. Maybe he read too many newspaper clippings. Or maybe the other teams have figured some things out, and that's the work he's got to do. I mean, everybody was saying last year that he's NFL ready.
Right.
And people said, why don't they just do away with that rule and let him come after his freshman year? Do you want him to come now? He's shown he's having maybe a little sophomore slump. But there's still the rest of the season to play. Get in the playoffs and then play Clemson and see what you think. I think they still deserve to be there.
We're going to switch from college to the pros up next. D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Because he's with a whole other organization, you can't really tell, like I said, how he's going to play you. He's not going over. He's not the coach. So he got to do what they tell him to do and how they're going to play and enforce their scheme. Like, he can't go over there and be like, okay, I'm just going to do this.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and it's Greg. That was Julio Jones talking about the matchup that everybody's going to be watching today.
Yeah.
Talking about Jalen Ramsey.
Are we going to see it?
Yeah, we better see it. I think Jalen's going to go over there just for the test. Listen, how else does he show how great he is than go up against our best, right?
Yeah.
Which is what he always touts. He's one of the best in the league. He's got to go best against best. Deion always looked for Jerry Rice, right? He didn't go away from him. So that's the matchup I'm looking for today. Aren't you, D-Led?
Oh, yeah, no question about it, Greg. I want to see this. All this smoke he's been blowing down in Jacksonville, talking smack about the quarterback, backing up the Brinks truck, faking the back injury to get out of town. Let's see what he can do on the top receiver in the game right now.
Officially welcome him.
I want to officially welcome to the show, brother, D. Orlando Ledbetter.
Yeah, and I said that with my mic on, so.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, AJC at AJC.com, joins us. This morning, always great to check in with you, D-Led. Thoughts about him coming in and what it does for this Rams team? They've been having some woes coming in, and maybe this is a good opportunity for the Falcons.
Well, Sam, they've been moving some people around in that secondary. They traded Marcus Peters. They also lost John Johnson, their strong safety. So, continuity will be an issue. But, they have one of the best in the game in Wade Phillips at D.C. So he'll simplify things to have them ready to play as fast as they can. Just there'll be some new guys out there trying to play together for the first time. And anytime you see that, you want to try to take advantage of it.
All right, D-Lay, let's get back to the defensive side of the Falcons. And the head-shaking, head-scratching performances so far this year, where you talk about a team that hasn't got a sack in the last three games, not many forces or turnovers, things like that. And, I mean, they didn't even get to Kyler Murray at all. I mean, there wasn't one single pressure on this game in the Arizona game. What should we think about this defense right now?
Well, it's you got to kind of say, they're going to turn the light switch on or they're not very good right now. They've been 242 snaps since they had their last sack. They have come close. They have chased the people around a little bit. But it kind of goes together. They all don't want to put it on the rushers because guys are open. So quarterbacks don't have to hold the ball. And a lot of that attention's going towards new right cornerback Isaiah Oliver, who is struggling. And Kyler Murray on his first big third down, he went right after Oliver on a deep pass to Trent Sherfield, former Vanderbilt wide receiver, and connected. Whenever he needed anything, he went over there. So, when Trufant can get healthy, Bleedy Ray Wilson is healthy, maybe you sit Isaiah down. It just hasn't worked so far for him. And that's been a big failure in the defense.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. Always great to have him join us in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And you can join him. He is social at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, thoughts about things on the offensive side. Obviously, we talked about Julio and throwing. And, everybody talks about Matt Ryan, this and that. I don't think Matt's the problem at all, really. And last week, he had a solid game. Thoughts about going up against this Rams defense, the things they want to do to try to exploit them and some of the new personnel and things they've moved around?
Yeah, no question about it. You want to be able to hit that secondary up with the combination route. If they leave Julio one-on-one with Jalen, then you want to hit the end cuts to Julio and maybe some of the double move stuff and be on time with the ball. That's the only thing if you got to do that. But certainly Austin Hooper's been off to a great start. He should still be open. Wade Phillips is going to probably try to blitz a lot too, so you got to be ready for that. The big thing the Falcons need is Devontae Freeman to, run the ball again like he did last week. I've been kind of easy on him early in the season as he was shaking off the rust, but they need that running game. 73 yards a game is not going to get it. They know it, and they're going to try to run the ball at the Rams. They usually have trouble against the 3-4 type team. So we'll see how that run game goes and how long Dirk Cutter sticks with it against the Rams defensive front.
See, Sam, this is what I've been saying from jump. The play-action pass has got to be something that has got to be ever-present with this offense. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. D-Led, listen, we're sitting in the barbershop right now, and we're arguing about the Falcons, and somebody comes up with this stat. They say, Matt Ryan, 15 touchdown passes. He could be the first player in NFL history to have at least 300 yards passing for the first 7 games of the season. You hear stuff like that. He's cut down on his mistakes. How does this translate to a team being 1-5? Okay, and I know you said they got to flip a switch, but this to me sounds like it's all defensive problems.
Yeah, Greg, it is. When you look at it under the microscope, he's got those great numbers because they've been behind. They've been getting their heads beat in the first half. Last week was the fourth game where they had a double-digit lead at halftime. They're down 20-10, 21-0 in Minnesota, 24-3 Tennessee, 20-3 Colts. So, hey, you got to throw the ball. So he can throw the ball, but, they need him to throw the ball to score, not to play catch-up. And with this defense, with Coach Dunn taking it over, tinkering with it, it just hasn't worked out for him. And I don't see you losing Keanu Hurts, but I don't see what they can do to fix this thing overnight. Was talking to a former Tech player turned broadcaster, played on the offensive side of the ball. He said, who runs a 5-2-4? Who runs a 5? What is that? And so people are eating it up. They're having it for lunch. And the Falcons need to make, with all the defensive minds on that side of the ball, they need to come up with a little bit better plan because it didn't work. They came up with that to stop the mobile quarterback. It didn't stop them at all. Mariota looked like Joe Namath back there. Jacoby Brissett looked great. Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson ate them all up. So that didn't work. So go back to what you know works and play some football.
D. Orlando Ledbetter with us, folks, this morning, breaking it down for the Falcons. And I'm going to ask you another question, D. Led, because you're around the team so much, day in and day out, on the road at Flowery Branch. Where's this team at between the ears right now? I mean, where is this group?
No, they're not in a good place, Sam. The stand-up guys are being, you know, pretty good. Matt Bryan talked to Steve Hummer for 45 minutes the other day because he's a professional. Some of the defensive guys, it's like they blame the media for missing tackles or something, you know, and they don't want to see anything negative about them. But, I mean, you're 27th in the league. When you were in first place in the league, we wrote nice things. It's 27th. It's not going to be as nice. So you got guys dodging the media, saying they're going to the training room and whatnot, and they're not going nowhere near the training room. Not just to us, but to, you know, WSB and other media outlets in Atlanta, which, you know, we just trying to get the information out to the fans and so forth. So, yeah, they're not in a good place. I mean, they're circling their brotherhood wagons and looking at the media as part of the outsiders. But, you know, we're really just trying to get the information to the fans of what's going on with the team. So it's been a little bit hard in that way. But, we're pros. We know how to handle that. And we'll keep it moving.
You know, you brought his name up, and Sam and I were talking earlier in the show that I can't think of a more beloved player on that team and the adversity that he went through this past week, and that's Matt Bryan. You got a chance to talk to him. What was his mindset like?
Yeah, Greg, he's still, there's room for you not to be perfect in this kicking game, but he doesn't want to accept that. He wants to be, you know, the 100% machine guy that could handle – certainly a 33-yard kick with ease. He said he hit it wrong, and, we investigated and watched the film, turns out the hole was great. They had it leaning inside, but that's the way he likes it. So I had to go back and change my film review because I was blaming Matt Schaub for the hole. but the hole was good.
Yeah.
So the punter, Matt was right. He hit it wrong. It was wide left, and, everybody's got his back. So if anybody's got any cachet in the locker room, it's him.
I would say so. I would definitely say so. And the thing of it is, I mean, this is a guy that you know, he wasn't with this team, you know, back in camp. I think he's the people's choice. Everybody knows what he's done and what he's capable of doing. And you couldn't feel worse for somebody after that happened last week.
Hey, you know, it's funny, though, that you brought up something in talking about Matt Ryan earlier and the running game. The same thing can be said for what is going on with this Rams offense. And Jared Goff is getting killed. And most of that has to do with the fact that Todd Gurley ain't been Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd didn't play last week. I'm pretty sure he was resting up for his return to Georgia. And he's going to play today, but I don't think. And I noticed it during the playoff run that in the Saints NFC Championship game, because he caught a pass across the middle where he should have just motored to the house. And, we've seen him do it so many times. He's like, oh, no, something's wrong with the wheels. And sure enough, you know, we get about, you know, start hearing about that over the offseason. And then this year we have a couple nicks with him and so forth. You know, running backs are going to get nicked up. But he's ready to go today, and Coach Sean, I talked to Coach Sean McVay this week, and he was hopeful early in the week that he'd be ready to go, and it looks like later in the week he is. So, the Rams coming in with all their weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and that's probably they're probably all excited looking at the Falcons' numbers and what the Falcons have been doing. So that's certainly going to be a could be a shootout here in a couple hours because the offenses appear to have a lot of advantages.
That's crazy to me. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's the one thing you say is so different about this team than the last time we saw them in this building, which was just a few months ago?
Well, that they haven't been able to fix the problems. I mean, the Tennessee game was the bottom fell out game. I talked to Charles Davis about it, who's covering the game for Fox today. They lose to Minnesota. It's okay. They beat the Eagles. They're a good team. lose to the Colts, that's on the road. But then you come home and let Marcus Mariota, who's since been bit, you know, beat you. Then all of a sudden, okay, we got problems here. We got real problems here. It's not just, you know, hey, a slow start type thing. And so, and then we saw the real problems come up on the road at Houston and Arizona to where, hey, this defense is not very good through six games. That's a good sample size. So now what do you do to fix it? And, you know, they keep talking about technique and this and that. I mean, that you know, technique, I don't know if that's going to work. But something's got to happen, or otherwise you're playing with a bad defense all year. And I think they made an admission last week when they won the toss and sent the offense out. That admitted that, hey, our defense isn't very good. So once they come to that realization, they need to run the ball, keep them off the field, score as many points as you can, and minimize your exposure on defense. And if they start playing like that, that might be their winning formula.
All right, we'll see what happens. Things get going at 1 o'clock today, pregame at 11 a.m. You can hear that game, Falcons and Rams, of course, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tonight we got Eagles and Cowboys, and that kicks off at 8:15. D-Led, as always, we thank you for getting up and being part of the show.
Sure, no problem, Greg and Sam. You all take care, and thanks for having me. Love my intro music.
It is yours.
It is yours. Don't forget, he is social, folks.
All right.
On Twitter, at the D Orlando AJC. Always great to have him in the house with us.
Listen, we're going to come back, and we're going to give some thoughts on today's action, but I want to get back to something that D-Led said having to do with not just the Falcons and the Rams, but some of the other teams, and a topic that we have talked about having to do with a position that's sort of kind of spiraling down the drain, but yet we still see it's as important as anything. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I haven't felt that at all, like losing guys and guys don't want to practice or work out, and just the smaller things. Like, you can kind of get, you know, with the things like guys not want to work out, guys don't want to do walkthrough, things like that, but it's none of that here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That was Julio.
Okay.
Jones talking about.
I hear the words.
Okay. All right. Well, you take it from here then.
I'm just saying. I hear the words. That sounds good. You know.
You saying you sound skeptical, Mr. Crenshaw.
If you look at what's going on.
Well, one's got nothing to do with the other, because apparently you could be losing, not having the season you want, but yet still have the confidence of the players. That's what he's trying to get across to us.
Yeah.
He wants us to believe that Coach Quinn has not lost the locker room.
Mm-hmm. You know
what you look like right there? You look like my mother when I would come home and I would tell her something. It could be anything that I did or was supposed to do. And she'd look at me with that corner of her mouth turned up, went, mm-hmm. That's exactly what you just did.
Yeah. I'm just saying, okay, if that's the case, then let's see it today. That's all I'm saying. Let's see it through the effort, and let's see it through some execution. Let's see it with a win. We're at home, and it's a big game, and the team desperately needs it.
So you're saying that a team cannot go through the season that they're going – or excuse me, I won't put words in your mouth. Are you saying that it is difficult to believe that a team could go through what the Falcons have gone through, not just this season, maybe this was the last straw, but over the last few years, and the coach, head coach, keep – the players on that team playing at the level that they were at from when
he
took over?
That's just it, though.
Is that what you're saying? Or where's that effect?
He shifted things that now he's calling the defense, and that's not going – and maybe that's the other thing that's happening. Maybe he just needs to be the head coach.
Okay.
You know? I mean, maybe that might be the thing that's happening, because that's the change that was made for this year.
Yes, it was. We were supposed
to be the change for the better.
Violent. That was a word that was used. Disruptive. That's what this defense was going to be.
Yeah.
And at least that's what they set out to be.
Has not been that. Has not been that.
Just fast and physical.
That's what's promised. That's what's always promised. So
love that
movie.
I saw that. It was Clint Eastwood, I think, Jeff Bridges.
Was it?
Yeah, something like that. You know what's interesting, though, is we were talking to D-Led and talking about the problems or one of the issues that the Falcons offense has, and you could say the same thing about the Rams offense, too. And it surrounds, you know, Jared Goff can't do what he has been doing over the last season or so without Todd Gurley being Todd Gurley. Same thing with Devontae Freeman, right? Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's putting all these numbers up, but you're saying it's out of attrition because he got to do something to win the game because these guys are down and he's throwing the ball all over. All right, having said that, what have we spent the last couple of years doing on this show, or what position have we talked about sort of fading away in the NFL? That is important. Those top players at that position aren't getting the money that they used to get and having to fight for it a whole lot more, and that was the running back position.
Yeah, it's true. But the whole thing is you see the value of a running back in our division, though, because you look at what's happening first New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And now up in
Kamara's out today.
Up in Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, with McCaffrey. So there's the value of him, you know, and the things they do, they got to be versatile. And that's something that we had with Devontae when he was healthy. And just like D-Led said, he went a little easy on him because he was, you know, slowly working his way back in. We want to see that Devontae Freeman today. This will be a great day for him to come out and be a 100-plus. And be that guy that can do things if you get the ball to him out in space and be that difference maker. Because when he's healthy and at his best, that's what he does for this offense.
They just need, I think, a big Mike Tyson punch in the mouth who's ever in front of him kind of win today.
Yeah.
They're not going to get back and get back into, you know, postseason conversation, at least not now. But for them to turn the corner, I believe, is for everybody on all sides of the ball and special teams to just – exert their will on the other team and make them collectively feel better and say that this is the team that was talked about going to the playoffs and for deep into the playoffs at the beginning of the season. How about you?
These are the guys. That's what we look for. Any other games around the league you looking for today?
I mentioned New Orleans and Kamara's out, and you know you got
well because they're playing your Bears.
And I'm saying you don't want to go into that game limping, especially after what you know the Bears are playing kind of. Nasty these days. They're seeing what's going on in Green Bay. They're seeing what's going on in Minnesota. And I just think that they're going to – this defense today is going to be tough. And they're at home, too. I haven't checked the weather in Chicago, but it can't be like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium over there in New Orleans.
No, it won't be that at all.
One I'm looking at.
Also at 425, Ravens and Seahawks. Watch that one. Ravens at 4-2, Seahawks at 5-1. They should be one of the better games of the day.
I'm kind of happy because I told you I go back. This got nothing to do with Gruden, but other than the Bears growing up, my team was Oakland. And for them to be turning the corner after everything that they, you know, got thrown at them last year, Gruden's first year, and they seem to not just be turning the corner in the minds of, you know, people in my position, just fans, but football people are talking about how they're turning the corner and they're going up against Green Bay today. And I would love nothing better for Gruden and them boys to smack Aaron Rodgers right in the mouth at home too. Before we get on out of here, we got to do a special shout out. Yep. We don't have to, but I am. SMU football.
They're winning.
The Mustangs, I won't say they're fully back, don't know about the death penalty and what those guys get to, go Google that. And you'll see why no other program has gone through that and for the hurdles that they've had to go through to get back.
Yeah.
And then read about the Pony Express, too. Eric Dickerson and Craig James and the boys.
Yep.
Bags of money they got thrown
awesome
their way.
Awesome stories. I know some guys personally who are out there doing that time that can tell you about some of that.
Listen, those of you who would like to make the transition from doing extra work to principal work, as far as getting representation and going out and auditioning, you got to get something together first. I'm going to tell you about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.